And this past week, I had the opportunity to be on a Zoom meeting with a bunch of pastors. And I had an opportunity to share with them about prayer. And I shared with them the verse and just the phrase, you know, from Luke 11:1, Lord, teach us to pray. And what was it like? What was it like to hear Jesus pray? Imagine that. And again, I know I've shared this with you. You know, the disciples didn't say, Lord, teach us to preach, teach us to fish. You know, hey, teach us to be a carpenter like you. Teach us to pray. And I think that's something we always need to be reminded. Teach us to pray. Prayer is so important. It is our communication to our Heavenly Father. And our Heavenly Father sits on the throne of all the universe. And again, always be reminded that when we pray, where we're going. You know, I guess one very minute illustration of that. Maybe some of you remember seeing the picture of John F. Kennedy as president. And he's sitting there at the Resolute desk. And little John is playing, you know, and coming out from under the desk. You know, here's the president of the United States, the most powerful man in all of the world, and his son is playing in the office. Now, we don't go to heaven, you know, to play in our Father's office, but we have access to that throne room. We have access to the very throne room of the universe where God is ruling and reigning, and He always has time for us. So remember that. Remember that. So let's just remember this verse this year as our theme is, you know, praying, proclaiming, and planting. And let's remember this year, you know, Lord, teach us to pray. Don't be satisfied with your prayer life. Don't be satisfied with, you know, how long you pray and how often you pray and even your prayers. You know, praise God. Tonight we're going to be praying, you know, and when we break up in prayer, I want our theme to be praising God. Praise God for what He's done. It's always good to praise God. It's always good to praise God. So turn with me this afternoon, please, to Psalm 138 as we are continuing in our study of the Psalms, winding down, friends. One of these days we'll be done with the book of Psalms. But Psalm 138, the Bible says, a Psalm of David, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answered me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. So when we come to this psalm, often there is a title. We see that there is no title to this psalm, but we do see that it is a psalm of David. And this comes from the Jewish Study Bible, this quote. This is first a collection of hymns. So Psalm 138 to 145 is a collection of hymns that concludes the Psalter. Petitions characterize the Psalter's opening. And many see an additional movement from petition to hymns as part of the structure that the editor tries to convey. The book of Psalms would reflect a movement from lament to praise. So what is he saying? Quite often, When we open up and we read a psalm, the psalm moves from a lament and it winds up praising God, right? The psalmist is in some sort of trouble and he's praying to God for help. And then by the end of the psalm, he's praising God. Well, these concluding hymns, these concluding psalms at the end of the Psalter are much like that. Using the whole book, we have psalms of lament, but it finishes with psalms of praise. So these psalms at the end of the Bible, at the end of the psalm, are psalms of praise. So one of the things, if you're looking for something and you just want to praise the Lord about, go to the end of the book of Psalms. They're all psalms of praise. And I want that, again, to be the focus of our prayer time today, praising God. Now, you'll notice in verse 1, before the gods will I sing praise unto you. It's with a small g. The word is Elohim, same word. But the word here means magistrates or princes of the earth. David is not praising God before the false gods, but he's praising them, if you will, amongst the powerful people of the earth. In verse 2, praise thy name for thy loving kindness. That word loving kindness is the same word that is translated mercy in verse 8. And remember when we did Psalm 136, for his mercy endureth forever? Mercy, loving kindness, same Hebrew word. Okay? And magnified in verse 2 means exalted. Okay? And then in verse 8, perfect means to bring to an end. Okay? Well, God has a desire to bring to an end his work in us, and we'll talk about that when we get there. Verses 1 through 3, we see praises for answering prayer. Verses 4 to 6, this praise is becoming universal. You know, David is thanking God for answered prayer, and then he's letting other people know about this answered prayer, and then praise becoming personal. So let's look at the psalm together and meditate on it. Let's see what we can learn from it, and let's see what we can take into our prayer time from this psalm. Okay? First stanza, verses 1 to 3. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answered me, and strengtheneth me with strength in my soul. So again, this first stanza, David is praising God for some answer to prayer. And what a thing to praise God for, answered prayer. I always encourage people at RU when we do prayer requests, you know, remember these requests. And when we come back next week, if God has answered that, let us know so we can what? Praise God for answered prayer. It's good to hear. You know, remember, what's one of the things we're asking God to do? Teach us to pray. So if we want to teach young people to pray, isn't it good that they hear that God does answer our prayers? So let's praise him for that. And when he does answer that prayer, we praise and we thank him. And that encourages young people, that should encourage all of us. Hey, keep praying. God answers prayer. So David wants to praise God before the people and in God's temple for an answered prayer. He praises him with his whole heart or all of his being. Could you imagine? I mean, we have glimpses into David's life. When David was bringing the ark, it talks about him dancing before the Lord. I think David got excited when he praised the Lord. And sometimes, friends, I think it's good for us to get a little excited. You know, not to be such stoic New Englanders. Here I stand, I shall not be moved. You know, once in a while, it's good to hear an amen, a hallelujah. You know, once in a while, maybe one of you should wave a little hanky or something, you know, and make sure it's clean, you know. But thank the Lord for answered prayer. Praise Him with our whole being. It'll show up on our face, you know. It will show up. And David praised Him with his whole being. He praised Him before His court or His magistrate. Think about this. He was the king. He was the king and he was praising God. He praises Him in worship toward the temple. And again, at this time it was the tabernacle. He praised Him for His loving kindness or for His mercy. Friends, God's mercies are new every day. God continues, even though, yes, in His grace and mercy He saved us, He continues to pour out His mercy upon us every day. Praise Him for that. Praise Him for that. Praise Him for His truth. You know, he trusted His word, and when He prayed, not only he answered, but He answered above all that He could ask or think. Didn't that sound familiar? Turn to Ephesians. You see this New Testament truth from this Old Testament passage. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Paul says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, dunamis, what we learned this morning, that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Isn't it amazing how things work together? You know, there's a power in us. God's power is in us. And God is able to do even above and beyond all that we ask or think. How many times have you asked God for something and God went above? Right? I think we all could say that. Wow, Lord, you know, I asked for this and You gave me this. And what a blessing that is. And David is praising God for that. And now unto Him that is able. Why is He able? Because He's powerful. Because He's powerful. So again, he's praising God for answered prayer. So when we break up and we get into our prayer groups, you know, share with your prayer groups a specific answer of prayer and praise God for that. And praise God for that. Praise God for that answer to prayer. And that'll be a great blessing, you know, and praise Him with all of your heart. Okay? Praise Him with all of your heart. You get a little happy when you're praying? Amen. You know? Amen. Just don't do a glory lap. That might scare some of us. So. What was that guy? What was that? Tabernacle Baptist. Any of you ever hear Tabernacle Baptist in Greenville? Pastor Seitler? There was a guy, I forgot what his name was now, but they called him Happy, whatever his name was. And he would pick up a potted plant and run around the church and shout glory and put it back. And he was just happy, you know, praising God. That might shock some of us New Englanders a little too much. But anyway. In the second stanza, verses 4-6, "All the kings of the earth shall praise Thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of Thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet He hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud He knoweth afar off." Now in this second stanza, David wants this praise to become universal. He calls upon all the kings of the earth to praise and thank God. Wouldn't that be marvelous? There's coming a day when that will happen, but wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if all the leaders of the world would what? Hear the words of God's mouth. Where, of course, is the word of God? Here. What are some leaders trying to do? Silence this rather than read it and listen to it. For if they read it and listened to it, they would praise God. They would sing praises unto His name. If they could only hear the words of God, they would break out in songs of praise to His name. Kings and important people should not think too highly of themselves, nor should we. For God does not have respect for the proud, but for the humble. One of the great paradoxes of the Scripture is the way up is the way down. Turn to Isaiah 57. Verse 6 says, though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly, but the proud He knoweth afar off. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. So here is God speaking. I dwell in the high and holy place. Okay? So God dwells in the high and holy place. Where does He dwell? In the throne room of heaven. In the holy of holies of heaven. Who dwells with Him there? He says, with Him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. We're praying for a revival, aren't we? We're praying for personal revival. We're praying for corporate revival. We're praying for the church revival. We're praying for our country's revival. And what is the way to be revived? To not think too highly of ourselves. To praise God for His position and realize our position. What does God want to do for us? Revive us. Don't you need revival? I need revival. I watched a TV program a couple nights ago about revival and in particular the Hebrides revival in Scotland, and then another revival in Wales. And it was incredible what God does when God moves in. It's just incredible to revive His people, to revive His church. You know, that means to bring back to life. You know, to bring back to life. And this is what God does. But how does He do it? By us dwelling with Him in the high place, but the way to that high place is through a humble and contrite heart. So bow before Him in prayer. Bow before Him in prayer. And then in the third stanza of verses 7 to 8, though I walk in the midst of trouble, Thou wilt, there's our word, revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth Thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and Thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of Thine own hands. So here in this third and final stanza, David's praise becomes very, very, very personal. And note all the pronouns, I and me. Okay, the great, glorious God of heaven stretches out His hand in behalf and will bring to conclusion that which concerns David. And David rests in this confidence, knowing that God's mercy or His loving kindness endures forever, and that He will not forsake the work of His own hands. Paul expresses the same thought in Philippians 1:6. Please turn there. Wonderful how we see these principles in the Old Testament shared with us in the New Testament. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that He, God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now let me share something with you. When God saved you, He began a work in your life. And one day, He will perfect, He will complete that work. Now, in between is a difficult part, isn't it? There's times there that we have to surrender and we have to give, into God, and we need to trust Him as our Father. We need to trust Him as our Master. And in that process, we have peaks and valleys. We have mountaintops, and sometimes we're climbing up, sometimes we're sliding down, sometimes we're in the valley or on the mountaintops. But, no matter what happens during my life, God is going to complete His work in me. Because it's what? It's His work. Now, that's no excuse to say, all right, God's going to do it anyway. Why am I wasting all this time? Well, because the Bible says that we need to do that. We want to be vessels in His hand. We want to be a testimony. But isn't it wonderful that our whole salvation from start to finish is a work of God? Friends, these are reasons why I believe in the eternal security of the believer. Not because some Calvinist said so, and I don't believe that you could lose your salvation because some Arminian said so, but I believe that if a truly saved person is saved, God is going to complete that work in spite of me. In spite of me. And I don't want to work against God. I don't want to grieve His Spirit. I don't want to quench His Spirit. But I want to be filled with His Spirit. I want to be led with His Spirit. And let's cooperate. Isn't it easier? Think about your life as a parent. Think about your life as a child. Isn't it easier when you cooperate with mom and dad? My life was always easier when I cooperated. Always easier. And it's much easier when we cooperate with God. It's much easier. And we should allow Him, to we put off the flesh and we put on the Spirit, and the old garments we take off and the new garments we put on, and daily we crucify the flesh. Let God work in our lives. So friends, today as we go to prayer, look at the outline and praise God for answered prayer. Pray that others would hear His word and therefore praise God. And then personally praise God for His continuing work in your life. So again, when we get together and we break up in these prayer groups, share with the people a specific answer to prayer and praise God for that together. And then also pray that others would hear His word, so that they could praise God. So let's pray for our witness. Let's pray that we be a bold witness. And let's pray that as we're witnessing, people would respond to the gospel. So one day today, people who are blaspheming God today will be praising God in the future. Some of the folks that are against us today, someday will be our brothers and sisters. And then let's finally praise God for His never, ever leaving us or forsaking us and always working on us. I shared a little bit with somebody in between the service that, although I was saved at 13 and didn't fully surrender my life to the Lord till I was 30, those 17 years, those wilderness, my life could very few high points, very deep valleys. But in that time, I was under such deep conviction at times. And I praise God that He never forsook me. He never forsook me. Other people gave up on me, but God never did. And I thank Him for that. And eventually it got to a point where God won. He always wins. Okay? He always wins. So let's praise Him today in our prayer. So find some people to pray with. Pray that praise God for a specific answer to prayer. Pray that we would have the opportunity to boldly proclaim His word and people would respond. And then praise God that He never leaves us or forsake us, and He always will continue His work. Try to find a young person to put in your group and encourage them to pray too. Okay, let's pray. And remember, let's keep praying. If you've prayed around, pray around again and pray until you hear Sim play the piano. And then wrap up your prayers.